When the trumpet of the march shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Welcome to the Lord's Challenge, our weekly quarter-hour broadcast, bringing the reality of God's Word to all people everywhere. Stay tuned as Joshua Daniel challenges us to a walk with God and the corresponding impact that'll have on our lives, families, and society today.
Let us turn to Luke 17 chapter, please. 12th verse. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan, much despised, northern upcountry fellow, Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger? And he said unto him, Arise and go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Now, I can think of 3 people who were brought to me very infirm on their legs. One was a little boy who could not get out of bed, and the doctors diagnosed his case as cancer of the bones, and that little boy wanted prayer. I managed to go to that little quarters of the defense department where his family were situated. Here was this boy seated in bed, can't get down. The Lord healed him. I said, Lord, let these feet run for the gospel. Of course, he has become a very successful fellow. He became a sportsman too. But I won't describe him as one who really is running for Jesus, running with the gospel. And that I keep reminding him about. Another was a young fellow, and the doctors found that after his fall from a height, one of his legs became so infirm that there was a distinct 1 inch or 1.5 inches difference between his legs. Once again, after Jesus touched him, when his mother brought him to me, well, you know, dear friends, when I meet with some of these cases, I plainly tell them, look, what can I do? I'm only a man. You need the touch of the Lord. The Lord must touch you. So that fellow became a sportsman too, and his feet and legs became completely normal. Now, a third person was a daughter of one of my very dear boys, an engineer. He said, my daughter has polio, has had polio. And here she is, one of her legs is so infirm. And the Lord healed her. And she is working for the Lord in a very difficult area close to Burma border. So I wish there would be some way by which people would be reminded, hey, this is what you would have been had it not been for my touch. Why are you so ungrateful? Can't you spend your days praising God, exalting Him for what He did for you? Where are the nine? Where are the nine? You know, my dear friends, I can think of so many. The sin of ingratitude is such a terrible sin. It gets hold of people again and again and again. And suddenly they become ungrateful and intractable. That's all. They become stiff. They become corpses. Oh, we need a tender heart to remember God's mercies, just to praise God. How many mercies? How many mercies? Can we ever be grateful enough for Calvary? Can we ever say, hey, Lord Jesus, you deserve to die that way upon the cross. You said you loved me and then you died for me. So what big deal is that? Nothing. Can you say that? Can you look at Calvary and say, hey, I deserve to be saved. I deserve that a propitiatory death like yours should have taken place. Because I'm worth saving, you know. I'm a great guy, and I should be saved. Can you say that? No. No, that Sanskrit term, prayaschit bali, I love that term because it says complete atonement, the sacrifice that makes complete atonement. Nowhere is there an atonement or a love comparable to the love of the cross. We have been made aware of that love, and can't we respond with gratitude? Can't we say, yes, Lord Jesus, there's nothing that can atone for a wretch like me and my life. There's nothing that can atone for a sinner like me. It took the sinless sacrifice of yourself upon the cross. Lord Jesus, I am forever grateful. Forgive me forever being ashamed of you or hesitating to stand with you and for you. Today, you know, the cry should go out, who is on the Lord's side? Which also means, who is on the devil's side? This is an obvious cry, you know, when Moses came down the mountain and saw the people dancing round the golden calf which they had made. What did he say? Who is on the Lord's side? It's time for us to make certain on whose side we are. Are we on the side of righteousness? Are we on the side of the truth? Or are we on the side of myths and fables and ancient traditions? No, there are many people who will go rather opt more for their families than for truth. Such people are simply no good for a time like this. My grandfather says, my family says, my somebody says, okay, your grandfather rode a ox cart. Why don't you ride one? And say, this is how my grandfather got his mobility, and this is how I will get mine. This is my automobile. You know, folks, it is untenable. Our position on the fence is untenable. You can't position yourself on the fence at a time like this. When wrong is right and right is wrong, even in Parliament. Oh, how sad. in simple things today, even in accepting homosexuality as an alternate lifestyle. What does it mean? The extinction of a nation. The eventual extinction of a nation. So which mother is there who will tell me, I want all my children to adopt this new lifestyle? Come on, let me see which father wants that. But when it comes to the crunch, people want to sit on the fence. Shocking disloyalty to truth and to the word of God. Oh, dear friends, where are the nine? You know, we can live out our days in thanksgiving. You know, thanksgiving produces in you great vitality. You know, whatever I do for others, whatever I do for my Lord, I count it as nothing. I say I am a debtor. I owe it. I owe it to the Greeks and the barbarians. I am a debtor. The love of the cross, Christ's death, has placed me in the position of a debtor, not a donor. I don't know what position you take. Every little thing, oh, I'm doing this for God, I'm doing that for God, I'm doing this for God. And I say I'm doing nothing for God. I owe it to the Lord. I'm a debtor. Let us pray. Oh Lord our God, in what debt you have placed us by dying in our place and rising again for us. Lord Jesus, save us from the attitude of some of these philanthropists or others who say, I gave so many million for charity and I did so much for somebody. No, Lord, whatever we might have done, it's nothing. When we measure it by Calvary, it's nothing. It's nothing. How grateful we should be. What vitality and love there should be in our lives as we serve others. Instead of feeling weary and tired and fatigued and almost rendered unwilling. Please, Father, when the love of Jesus fails to tick in our soul, how dead can we get? Let the love of Jesus constrain us and make us a grateful people, a grateful. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
The speaker on this program was Joshua Daniel. He would like to know what your response has been to the Lord's challenge and would be delighted to hear from you. Please write, and if you have burdens you want to share and want prayer, do let us know. You can reach us on the World Wide Web at lefi.org, or else you can mail us at The Lord's Challenge, P.O. Box 14, South Lyon, Michigan, 48178, or in Canada, P.O. Box 31002, Windsor, Ontario, N9G2Y2. We are continually reaching out to millions in many countries, and we appreciate and we need your continuing prayerful support.